Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm also the head coach and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental Insurance Company. Well, it's hard to believe we're already rolling into October. What a wonderful weather week we've had. Late September has been warmer than this summer. Big shout out to my running friends. We had a great race at Kelly Mann, which raises money for domestic violence prevention. And that was a great race in Nashua on Saturday. And we had an absolutely fabulous turnout. Upcoming, this weekend, we have the half marathon that goes from the Loudoun racetrack to Concord. And my great friend John Mortimer has done a great job with that race. It's a fun race. It's not as easy as he says it is, though, because it's definitely not downhill. So on the subject of sports, it is my super greatest honor to be with two of the greatest soccer coaches in New Hampshire history, George and Dave Pinkham, obviously their brothers. Thanks, gentlemen, for joining me this weekend, September 30th and October 1st.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks. We look forward to it.
Now, George knows I'm going to ask him this question. So I always, whenever you guys have faced each other in the finals, which has been several times, how does the overall family deal with that? I know you deflected in the newspapers, and you've made it clear that it's not about Pinkham versus Pinkham, but inside baseball, tell us your mother and all that. Tell us about that.
Well, it is really about the teams, and that's what I've always stressed. The funny story with my mom, though, was the first time we met in a championship game in 2000. I went over to her, of course, my mom and dad at the beginning, and as did David, and give them hugs and everything. And she, of course, wanted to wish happy, good luck and have a great game. But just as I was leaving, she grabbed my arm and said, "Now, Pinky," she said, "David's won enough. You haven't won one yet. So I hope you win one today."
Did you ever hear that story, David?
No, the interesting is I think she said the same thing to me after he left. I reiterate what George has said, and that is the fact that it's the kids. And at times when this was happening, I think an awful lot was made of it, to have two brothers, two successful teams playing against each other in the finals. And you are right. We deflected as much as we possibly could. The kids certainly responded. Great games.
Absolutely. It was one at Sinew that was fantastic. So awesome. So between the two of you, you have about 1,000 wins. So I know you'll say that part of that is the feeder system in the towns, that you're in Guilford in Bow. But that also takes a lot of leadership and sustainability. So tell us some of the tricks of the trade in terms of sustainability that you haven't burned out, and you're still at it low these many years.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, it's interesting. I first, look at the coaching staff and their durability. Many of the coaches that we have with the Guilford program have been with us for a number of years. And I think that a lot of the success certainly has come from not only their input regarding our program, but also, the commitment that kids have made. I've said in the past that, success breeds success. And when we were fortunate enough to start having success, we had, more kids that participated in the sport. And, the parents certainly have allowed us to do what we need to in putting together not only a strong team this year, but teams in the past being strong. So I certainly think the kids and the coaches certainly have made an unbelievable contribution in regards to the success we've experienced.
And George, you've also noted that the town's support and the feeder systems has been very important.
Very important. Once you win that first championship, as my brother said, it kind of breeds success. And kids, I've had a number of parents coming up to me with their kids that are fifth, sixth grade saying, oh, they can't wait to get up to high school to play and have a chance to win a championship and play competitively at that level. So we both kind of fell into two communities that have been incredibly supportive.
And I'll speak to that firsthand. Now, we all witnessed a great New England Patriots game on Sunday, another Brady Belichick comeback special. So they've been awesome this past two decades. But I think, Dave, your Guilford winning 10 straight championships, that still is a national record, I believe, correct?
I think it is, and I haven't checked the record book for a number of years, but, when it's happening, we would take just game by game and then year by year, and, I always stated that it didn't mean as much when it was happening, but when I retire and look back at that accomplishment, I'm sure I'll look at that and say, wow, that really was something back then. A great time for all. And I still have players from the past who certainly make comments regarding their participation during that stretch.
Now you sound like Jack O'Meara when he had that great run with the with the Manchester West before Bedford got its own high school. I think our good friend Pastor Rob Grable, I don't know if he's ordained yet, but I think he's ministering to the flock. But anyway, he keeps these great soccer records, which he updates for me. So one of the most fascinating things is Guilford also had 133 straight games without a loss from 1990 through 1997. And you had one year where I think you just gave up one goal. So did that put additional pressure on you?
Honestly, Tom, I don't think so. I honestly don't. I never spent any time dwelling on it, and the players didn't. What we tried to do is to take each game as it came, and one of the goals we as a program in Guilford have always had, and that is the fact that we are going to emphasize defense, and we certainly have had a number of years where we've given up very, very few goals. And, I certainly believe in defense wins championships and that philosophy. So I think, the year that we gave up that one goal, it was quite an accomplishment, but we were just unbelievably solid defensively.
And George, Bo had a period of time between 2002 and 2003 where you won 32 straight games. And that was relatively new into the program, right? Because the school started in the late 90s.
Yeah. But as my brother said, we go into every game trying to and expecting to win it. And if we do, fine. If not, then we tip our hats to the other team that beat us. But being a coach and, of course, coaching a team, I think that's your great expectation every game. And you try not to look back, you look past that game. So whatever it was in a row, I was happy with that, but I'll trust you.
So for me, let's segue now into the Academy program. I saw that great article about your grandson, I think, right? In the Concord Monitor.
Yeah.
So the year that, 2007, when Bo lost in the final to the aforementioned Rob Grable's Hanover team, like following that team, my son Brian was on it, was like one of the happiest like 3 months. It was just so great following it. So in the Academy program, if a young man or woman is not on the high school team, are they missing that sort of camaraderie, or you just have to make a decision? Tell us your philosophies on that.
I think they are. There are pros and cons in the Academy program. The biggest pro is there's no question you're playing at another level. You're playing against kids that are soccer players. At the high school level, you do have some soccer players, but you also have simply some athletes that are playing soccer. And there is a distinct difference. So if you want to improve your game, play against the top level at that age, then that's for you. But as you mentioned, Tom, and I agree 100%, you're giving up that, let's say, hometown feeling, that you're competing with kids you may have started first grade with in kindergarten with to win a championship for your town. I try to emphasize to my team every year, look at the side of the bus when we go through towns or arrive. It doesn't say transportation, it says Bo. That's the first thing they're going to pick, so you represent them. And in the high school game, you can represent your town, and your town becomes very proud of your accomplishments. And it really, to me, instills a sense of pride in them, too.
Awesome. Dave, you have any thoughts on that? And has Guilford been hurt by any, high school been hurt by any player that's gone to the academy program?
No, not really. We've had, certainly the players had the talent to play through the academy program, but I feel, you know, as George does, and that is that the players are missing a wonderful opportunity of representing their communities and in their schools, and developing that relationship with their peers, I think is critical in their overall development. I think one of the advantages we have in regards to the players in our general area of the state not participating in the academy program is due to the travel. You know, the further south you go, the closer you are to the academies, the more likely you're going to get some of these top players playing in the academy program. But the further north you go, the fewer players would participate in that program due to travel.
So after commercial break, I want to touch on two things that have always interested me. One is, does New Hampshire have a disproportionate, in a positive way, success in soccer? It just seems to me, I know way back there was, I don't know if it was Suleiman or whatever, but there was an ODP team that had were in the national game. It just seems like we have some successes nationally. And the other thing, just following a little bit from afar this year, it seems like the divisions are really, really competitive. So if you gentlemen will be thinking about that, we'll return after commercial break with two famous soccer coaches, Dave Pinkham and George Pinkham. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm so blessed and honored to be with Dave Pinkham and George Pinkham. Between the two of these great leaders, they have won over 1,000 soccer victories in high school coaching. Dave around 650 and George around 350. And before the break, I was sort of teasing the audience and tell us why you think New Hampshire has some success, even though it's a relatively small state in terms of population, why we have some successes nationally. One of my theories is there's a soccer culture, and we have a lot of great coaches, too. Those are kind of my theories, but you guys are the experts. So tell me, am I correct that disproportionately New Hampshire has some pretty fantastic soccer successes?
I agree 100%. You know, for a small state, the participation rate is extremely high. You have unbelievable camps, programs. You have unbelievable select programs for these players to participate in, and they're getting the opportunity to play many other states. I think that right now, you know, high school soccer in New Hampshire, as it certainly is at a peak in regards to producing the college-level player.
George?
The last thing David touched upon, the college-level player. There are a lot of very competitive colleges and universities now in the state, from UNH now, where Coach Hubbard is building a national power, to Southern New Hampshire University, Division II power, Franklin Pierce Division II power. Dartmouth always plays a national schedule. So the kids in New Hampshire get the chance to see top level college soccer, and really they don't within an hour of their home, most of them. So that's really, I know myself, when I was younger, my chances to go to a college game were somewhat limited, but when I did, I really felt, wow, you know, these are the big boys playing the way it should be. So it really helped me kind of understand how the game was played. And getting back also to the clubs. The clubs 30 years ago were non-existent. Just in the last 20, 25 years, they've taken roots, and they really supply high school teams with, and particularly in the southern part of the state, because we've mentioned that, with a plethora of talent and soccer players. And that is in turn building up that base of soccer kids playing, both women and men.
Great, that's true. We've had some great women players get onto national programs. Let's get into the divisions this year. So I'll start with you, Dave. So in Division III, we have Derryfield, Hoppington, and your team, Guilford. So in Derryfield, is my pal Jeff Cousineau still the coach?
He certainly is. He does a great job.
Could be 1 year when I first moved into New Hampshire in the late 90s. He and Rand Kerr, they were doing the soccer. So I got my F, E, and D license in one summer just to make sure I knew what the hell was going on. So he's still coaching, and he's got a great record. And then you have Scott from Hopkinton, right?
Yeah. And again, as you mentioned, Derryfield is in Hopkinton, you know, are two unbelievably talented teams.
And of course, you've had so many championships. How does this team look for you? And I know you take them year by year. I know you're Belichickian on that. So.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we've had the injury bug since probably the second week of the season, with a number of our players actually having strep throat. So I think probably in the last six games that we've played, we've been missing probably two starters at least per game. And, you know, it's given us the opportunity to really see what we're made of. And the kids have certainly responded, and you know, things look good for us. But as I, you know, and I think you mentioned it already, there's tremendous parity in this division this year, and there are any of 10, 12 teams that if they're hot, they could win the whole thing.
Get into the tournament, and we go from there. So, George, I have been more closely following the Bow schedule. So it began at Lebanon, and you... First game of the season, pulled off a great victory. So who are the other competitors? You've got Goffstown, I know, and Pembroke and so forth.
In our division this year, Wyndham stands out above the rest of us because they're undefeated. I have not seen them play. I've just talked to other coaches. There are so many teams, and I try to emphasize this to my players, that can beat you on any given day in Division II. You have got to be ready to play every game. And that's the one difference between being in Division III Class M that we had been and for years, and being in Division II also years ago for 6 years, is in Division II there are no gimmies. And in Division III, every now and then you knew who was coming down the road, so you knew you were going to be able to play a lot of players. And every year you pretty much could tell who the top 4 to 6 teams were going to be because their reputation is there. So there, that's the difference in 2 and 3. But right now it looks like Wyndham is the team to beat, but funny things happen in the game of soccer.
And we've got John Stark, too, I guess.
John Stark has only lost two games now because Wyndham did beat him. But Jeff said it was a very competitive game. Goffstown is losing games lately, but, again, they're the defending champs. And they've got to get knocked off before they have the chance to upset people in the tournament, which they will. Even a team like Portsmouth that has one win when we played them, they are a very competitive team. Teams that we play tomorrow, Hollis Brookline, Merrimack Valley, that we handle by 4 or 5 goals, they have good teams. And we've got to play them again. I expect an entirely different game against them the second time around.
Got to go all out on any given day, right, like the NFL. So in Division I, we have Manchester Central, Exeter. So I assume my good friend Jim Tufts is still coaching there, right?
He is.
He had to put up with Matt and Brian both for soccer camps as well as hockey. So, and that was when the outdoor rinks. that's the new.
New Hampshire College,
right. So you have Exeter, Salem, Manchester Central, and how about Pastor Grable's Hanover team? They're always there.
Don't. But they have to mention Concord.
And Concord as well.
They will.
You mentioned one of your mantras is, you know, can't lose if you don't give up any goals. So is that something that, how do you stress that in practice? And you probably, you know, when kids are younger, they like to score the goals, but of course, you know, a great sweeper probably is one of the most important person on the team. So tell us, how do you get that philosophy across?
I think, you know, you definitely, the hardest thing, or the hardest position to play on the field is, I feel, is a striker. And I say this, and it sounds negative, but I'm actually being positive, and that is I think the easiest position is to be a back. But what we look for in the backs are not only size, but also speed. Because what we want to be able to do is to have backs that attack, but backs that also can get back and make up for the speed for the other team may have. What we will do is we run quite a few drills that are going to give us an indication right away whether this person is going to be the type of back we're looking for, or they would be better suited to play a different position. So we're getting that indication when we see these kids probably during middle school, 7th and 8th grade.
George, how about your philosophies?
If you don't give up any goals, then you got a chance to win. And any
like
game
it.
I've ever coached, I try to tell teams when we're the underdogs, if we can get a team to halftime, either even at 0-0 or even one goal behind, then in the second half, the heart and the head takes over. And I've seen some pretty ugly teams become fair teams and some fair teams become good teams because of that. And that's where your upsets occur.
Exactly. And I've seen it. Best team doesn't always win, you know, and that's just the way it is. So I have two other questions. Both of you have had tremendous success, but you've along the way have had a few heartbreaking losses. George, I'm still trying to get over the 2007 final in Hanover, and that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So how do you, the few times you've had heartbreaking losses, how do you, as coaches, you know, get over that, Dave?
Well, you know, I actually look at probably the most difficult would be, I'll give you two examples. One was before we finally won our first championship and started the streak, we lost in the finals four consecutive years. I had players that had started with a program as ninth graders all the way through high school. And, you know, they leave the program basically saying, I never won a championship. All 4 years I lost in the finals. That's hard to take. And the other one was when we lost to Cole Brown, I think it was during at the end of the streak, a little ninth grade goalkeeper that we had, there was a lot of media attention there, and we ended up dominating the game against Cole Brown. They had a very veteran team. We had a very young team, and we just couldn't score. Their goalkeeper was phenomenal. We went to penalty kicks, and we lost the game 5-4. That was the end of the streak. And I will never forget after the game, taking the little goalkeeper and putting my arms around him, and because he felt so bad for what had happened, and telling him that he had no role whatsoever. All five penalty kicks that were taken were outstanding. No keeper would have stopped them.
George, a quick thought from you?
You just swallow deep and go on. You're going to relive it, of course, in your mind. You're going to, as a coach, you're going to say, well, what could I have done? But we realized from early on when we first started coaching that you're going to have smiles when you win and frowns when you lose, and that's what you're going to deal with, and you go on.
It's a great segue to say, and I want the listening audience to know this, both these gentlemen are not only, you know, great coaches, but they were great teachers, they're great educators, they're great leaders of young men. And, you know, and George knows this, I speak from personal experience with one of my sons. George really turned around. You'll be happy to know that Brian's getting married next July and it's doing really well. So, Tom Raffio returns next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.